Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Brian Lynn, Katie Weaver, and Anne Ball. Dan Friedel will tell us what's trending today, and later we will have this week's lesson in everyday grammar. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
The United States Congress has voted to overrule a presidential veto of a bill supported by families of victims of the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks. The bill would let the families take legal action against Saudi Arabia for the attacks. Both houses of Congress voted Wednesday to reject President Barack Obama's veto of the legislation. It is known as the Justice Against Sponsors of Terrorism Act. The House of Representatives voted 348-77 to overrule the veto. In the Senate, the vote was 97-1. A two-thirds majority is required to cancel the president's action. It was the first time in Obama's presidency that Congress has overturned one of his vetoes. Under the legislation, U.S. courts will have power to consider cases against foreign states that support terror acts carried out on U.S. territory. Claims can involve terrorism-related injuries, death, or damages. 15 of the 19 hijackers involved in the September 11 attacks were from Saudi Arabia. Some relatives of the victims accuse Saudi Arabia of backing the attackers. They plan to bring cases against the Saudi government in U.S. courts. Saudi Arabia has long denied any part in the attacks. Senator John Cornyn of Texas is a member of the Republican Party. He believes the legislation will send a message to international sponsors of terrorism.
The Justice Against Sponsors of Terrorism Act will send a strong message to those who sponsor terrorist attacks on American soil, including foreign governments, will answer to those victims and pay for the death and destruction that they cause.
President Obama opposed the measure because it would limit the idea of sovereign immunity. Sovereign immunity is the legal policy that protects a government or its agencies from legal action. The Obama administration has said the bill could endanger Americans working overseas. New York Senator Chuck Schumer, a member of the Democratic Party, said he favored the bill to finally give terrorist victims a chance at justice. The president told CNN television he thought the congressional action was basically a political vote. I'm Brian Lynn.
6 weeks remain until elections in the United States. Yet many Americans say they still do not know who they want as president. Now there are some new tech tools that might help them decide. Startup businesses are creating products that try to change behavior and increase political activity. Brigade is one of those startups. The California-based company runs a social media site and mobile app. It did not even exist in 2012 when the U.S. held its last presidential election. Brigade is a platform for debating and deciding political positions. Users can follow the political issues that interest them, such as gun rights, immigration, or the environment. Matt Mahan helped create Brigade and now serves as its chief executive officer. He says a few problems need to be solved to increase American civic involvement. Brigade lets users debate issues and try to influence other people online. Users can also see how their opinions compare with other users, as well as political candidates. CrowdPack is another politically minded technology company. It also did not exist at the time of the 2012 presidential election. Giselle Cordestani is CrowdPack's chief operations officer. The company is, in her words, using technology to try to help the average citizen to connect and engage in politics. The CrowdPack website describes itself as the first crowdfunding site designed for politics. It provides information about individuals seeking public office. It also helps users find and support the candidates who share their opinions. And it helps those running for office raise money. It does this through crowdfunding. Crowdfunding is the activity of raising money through small donations from a lot of people. Generally, crowdfunding takes place on the internet. Cordestani said technology companies are changing how Americans take part in politics by creating new ways for political participation. That is why, she thinks, politicians should look to Silicon Valley, America's technology center. Cordestani said many tech companies in Silicon Valley also recognize the importance of working with politicians and the government to create positive changes. I'm Katie Weaver.
An international team of scientists has identified a new kind of superbug, or strong bacteria, that has made people sick. They link the development of the superbug to the use of antibiotic drugs in farm animals. The scientists say this new strain of methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, known as MRSA, sickened at least 10 people in Denmark. They said the bacteria is resistant to several antibiotics and can kill chickens. The strain is not found in Denmark. The researchers believe the Danes likely got sick from it by eating or being close to imported chicken. Most people do not get MRSA from animals used as food. The bacteria usually spreads through person-to-person contact in hospitals or other buildings where people live in small, crowded spaces. Farm workers have a higher risk of staph infections. The researchers compared the strains of MRSA in the 10 Danes to staph infections in other people and in livestock. They found the strain came from poultry, animals like chickens and turkeys. The contaminated meat in Denmark was imported from other countries, including France, the Netherlands, and Germany. The findings were published in the journal Clinical Infectious Diseases. They show that this strain of the virus may be more easily passed from meat to people. Last week, the United Nations held a high-level meeting of experts on antibiotic resistance. They talked about how resistance could become an international crisis if steps are not taken. One of their main worries is the overuse and misuse of antibiotics. If the drugs are used too often, they can become ineffective. More superbugs like MRSA will develop, the experts said. They called on governments and private companies to work together to stop the overuse and misuse of antibiotics. Laura McCleary was at the meeting. She works for the Washington, D.C.-based Consumers Union. She says animals that are raised on farms for food are often given antibiotics to prevent disease and help them grow faster. McCleary said the experts discussed measures to reduce resistance to antibiotics. She said, drug pricing and availability at a level of provider incentives, those are the kinds of things that governments can do to discourage inappropriate prescribing among physicians and to educate consumers about the potential risk of antibiotic resistance. McCleary says her organization has persuaded restaurants like McDonald's to agree not to sell chicken treated with antibiotics.
Businessman Elon Musk says his company is building a powerful, reusable rocket and a spaceship that may travel to the planet Mars. The spacecraft would eventually be able to take as many as 100 people and their equipment to the Red Planet, he said. The entrepreneur announced his plan on Tuesday at the 67th International Astronautical Congress in Guadalajara, Mexico. Elon Musk is the founder of the American company SpaceX. It designs, manufactures, and launches rockets and spacecraft. During his speech in Mexico, Musk did not talk about the September 1st explosion of SpaceX's Falcon 9 rocket and the satellite it was carrying. But Musk did say he wants to establish a city on Mars. He said the planned city would be able to support itself, complete with the ability to make iron as well as pizzas. Musk wants human beings to be able to live on more than just one planet. He said the best way to do that is to first colonize Mars. He wants many people to be able to travel to the Red Planet.
Really, the key is making this affordable, to almost anyone who wants to go.
Reusing rockets and spaceships will help lower the cost for each person, he explained. The spaceships would also be able to refuel in orbit. He suggested the production of methane and oxygen on Mars would provide fuel for the trip back home. Musk says a self-supporting colony on the planet would require about 1 million people. To get them there and to build the colony, it would take between 40 and 100 years, or about 10,000 flights with 100 people per flight. Musk said the trip would last between 80 and 150 days. Eventually, the cost would go down.
The very first flights would be fairly expensive, but the architecture allows for a cost per ticket of less than $200,000.
No date has been set for the first flight, but Musk said he wanted to send the first manned mission to Mars by 2024. He added that he plans to start transporting supplies to the planet as soon as 2018. Musk invited other companies to join the Mars effort, which reportedly would require about a $10 billion investment. Musk, a wealthy entrepreneur, is also known for his Tesla Motors company, which makes electric cars. I'm Ann Ball.
This is What's Trending Today. Gary Johnson is the Libertarian Party candidate for president. His name will appear on ballots in every U.S. state and territory on November 8th. It will be next to prominent candidates from the two main political parties, Democrat Hillary Clinton and Republican Donald Trump. Johnson is the former governor of the southwestern state of New Mexico. Johnson does not have enough support in public opinion studies to be included in the televised presidential debates like the one between Clinton and Trump on Monday night. But a television news program did give Johnson a chance to speak about himself and some political issues on Wednesday. The host of the show asked him to name a foreign leader he admires. Johnson had trouble coming up with a name. Later, he said he was trying to recall the name of former Mexican President Vicente Fox. Johnson said he was having an Aleppo moment when he could not think of Fox's name. The phrase refers to the time in early September when Johnson was asked about Aleppo, the city at the heart of the Syrian civil war. And he replied by asking, "And what is Aleppo?" On Thursday, people reacted to Johnson's trouble with the names of foreign leaders. They also wanted to remind the candidate that problems in Syria should not be minimized. And that's What's Trending Today. I'm Dan Friedel.
From VOA Learning English, this is Everyday Grammar. Popular music can teach you a lot about the English language. You may not realize it, but musicians are actually teaching you about English grammar in each song they perform. Consider this song by the famous reggae artist Bob Marley. It tells about the need for equality and justice.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Fist up and get up, stand up. Don't give up.
This song is called Get Up, Stand Up. It shows you how to use the three-part phrasal verb stand up for. To stand up for means to defend someone or something with words. Today, we explore three-part phrasal verbs, idiomatic expressions that can be difficult for students of English to understand.
As you may remember from other everyday grammar programs, a phrasal verb is a verb with two or more words. Most phrasal verbs contain just two words, a verb and a preposition, such as look up, which means to research or to search for. Look is the verb, and up is the preposition. Note that look and up are words with literal meanings. In some situations, you would use the literal meaning of look and up. For example, you can say, "When I looked up, I saw a beautiful bird." In that sentence, look means to direct your eyes to a specific direction, and up means toward the sky or top of the room. But when used as a phrasal verb, look up becomes idiomatic, which means you cannot understand their meaning from the individual meanings of the separate words. Instead, when the words are put together as phrasal verbs, they mean something else. While many phrasal verbs consist of just two words, there are several that have three words. Three-part phrasal verbs have a verb and two particles. A particle is a word that must appear with another word to communicate meaning. In Bob Marley's song, the main verb stand has two particles, up and for. When these three words are combined, they become a three-part phrasal verb. Here is an easy way to remember how to use three-part phrasal verbs. All three words always appear together, and the order of the three words never changes. So, although using these verbs may seem daunting at first, do not fear. If you learn the most common ones, you will be able to recognize them and use them yourself.
Three-part phrasal verbs are important if you want to express yourself in English in the most natural way possible. You can use many of these verbs in both casual and formal English. For example, the meeting lasted 3 hours. Now I need to catch up on my work. To catch up on is both casual and formal. It means to do something you have not had time to do earlier. But some three-part phrasal verbs are more common in casual English than in formal, written English. Listen for a three-part phrasal verb in this song by the blues singer B.B. King.
Oh, I'm sorry for you, baby. But you know I just can't put up with you.
This song, called Get These Blues Off Me, uses the verb to put up with, which means to tolerate or accept something unpleasant. In English, many songs about love or love lost use the verb to put up with. But you probably would not use this verb in formal situations. For example, if you reported your noisy neighbors to police, you might want to avoid saying, "I have put up with the noise for a long time." Instead, you might say, "I have tolerated the noise for a long time."
In social, personal, and professional communication, three-part phrasal verbs are often the most natural and least wordy choice. That is why we use these verbs every day. For example, when we have not seen friends or family members for a long time, we want to catch up with them. We want to learn about the new things happening in their lives. Note the similarity between catch up with and catch up on. Yet, the meanings are different. Changing any word of a three-part phrasal verb creates a new meaning. A work situation where you might use a three-part phrasal verb is when you run out of time. In the workplace, you can also run out of ideas or supplies. To run out of means to have used all of something. Speaking of running out of time, we are almost out of time for this program. So here are three ideas to help you with three-part phrasal verbs.
Tip number one. The first thing to remember is that these verbs are inseparable, meaning that the three words cannot be separated by an object or any other part of speech. Bob Marley did not say, "Stand up your rights for," or "Stand your rights up for." And, as we noted earlier, the words will always appear in the same order. Bob Marley also did not say, "Stand for up your rights." Tip number two, changing any part of three-part phrasal verbs changes their meanings. Remember that the verbs catch up with and catch up on do not mean the same thing. Tip number three. Now a final point. The examples we have used today are from American English. Many of these verbs are the same in British English and other forms of English. But remember that some of them may have a different meaning or may not be used at all outside of the United States.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.